Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And we're back, folks. Another edition of the Michigan Recruiting Insider coming off of a huge visit weekend for the Maize and Blue. Guys on tap, prospects on tap for a huge game, a huge victory. Anytime you beat your rival, even when they're down, like Michigan State is right now, that is a pretty and a huge victory for the Maize and Blue. The atmosphere was outstanding. The atmosphere on this podcast is always outstanding because we have the best crew in the land, bar none. If you want the latest and the greatest in football, basketball, and recruiting, the Michigan Insider is where you should go. Joining me as they do for every episode, the man himself, Mr. Steve Loren. Steve, how are you?
Good, guys. Hope you guys are well.
And your chair? How's your chair doing?
Squeaky as hell still. You know what I'm going to say is I'm just not going to change. Maybe when they lose, I'll switch it. We'll play it like that. How about that?
Right.
It ain't going anywhere.
Right. And what, Mr. Bryce Maurich, couple weeks into marriage now? How you doing, Bryce?
Good. It's been a fun couple weeks. And I was telling Steve last podcast, I said, you know, right after coming back from Hawaii, I thought I could just ease into recruiting and not much be happening. And lo and behold, I'm sandwiched in between the Penn State game and the Michigan State game, which has been just, you know, a bit of news has happened.
Yeah, so. No doubt. And you're on the field. Were you aware when you were on the field that something was going on in the tunnel, or did you find that out after the fact?
So I saw the aftermath, essentially, because I kind of linger around. The recruits are kind of, you know, leaving the field from the opposite side on Michigan's sideline, and they cross, you know, midfield and then go through the tunnel. So I kind of lingered around, and, you know, all the recruits pass. And then I was walking in, and I saw one of the Michigan players kind of like stumbling. And I'm like, that's interesting. He looks kind of wobbly, you know. And next thing I know, I saw all this shouting and someone saying, "Where's the cops?" And it was melee in the tunnel, you know. And then you see the first thing, I'm sitting in there because, you know, where the photographers were right there where the visitors' post game press conferences. So Mel Tucker enters. I just flip up my phone and I'm like, you know, I might want to stay for this. And lo and behold, first question is, "Whoa, what do you think about the fight?" And I'm like, "Fight?" I'm like, "Well, what fight?" I was like, "I didn't see any fight during that game." I'm like, "I don't know what fight you're talking about." And so, you know, he got several questions about it. You know, obviously at the time he didn't know about it, or that's what he said.
Right. Well,
but yeah, it was pretty crazy.
It was in a very, very, very crazy sideline. I mean, it was packed, and we'll get into that shortly. Before we do, I want to remind you guys, if you like this podcast, be sure to rate it, be sure to review it, be sure to tell all your friends about it. That's if you're listening to us on Google, Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, you name it. Tell them to subscribe to the podcast, and they'll get a notification every time a new episode goes up. A wide range of programming, from analysis, recaps, previews. You can't get enough of the podcast channel. Of course, we also have a lot of content on our video channel. Of course, this is where a lot of you are seeing this over on YouTube. Be sure to subscribe to the channel, like the videos. You'll get notifications there also. And of course, whenever you want to see what we're doing, you can always find it over on the MichiganInsider.com. That is the one-stop shop. That's where everything goes down. That's where you can find our podcast, our videos, all of our written content, which is the majority of what we do, the VIP message board where the intel flows. If you're a Michigan fan, $1 gets you in your first month. You'll be hooked. And after you become a full-paying member, you also get access to Paramount Plus. It is great bang for that buck. But let's get right into it. So, Bryce, as we lean into the weekend, I almost feel like we got to start off talking about these crystal ball calls you made coming out of the weekend, the bevy of crystal balls, it seems, from you.
Yeah, so obviously I didn't go ahead and put in the Jane Davis one. I know Steve did, Steve Wolfong, but I didn't put that one in. I still feel really good, actually better coming out of that visit. But it's just one of those things where I'm going to take the backseat in terms of this recruitment and kind of put in my crystal ball, and I feel a little more confident there. But, I mean, overall, I feel pretty good coming out of this visit. But, yeah, I put in a trio of crystal balls, starting with the biggest Brady Prescorn, a guy Sam, you and me have seen from Rochester Adams, a top 100 tight end in the 2024 class here in state. He's a guy at 6'6", 215, physically impressive. He can go up and get the ball. Unique, you know, style of play. And somewhere, it's funny because you watch Rochester Adams and they play like a wing T kind of offense. You don't really get to see him utilized that much, but when he does get the ball thrown to him, you can see why he's so highly regarded. He's got about 25 offers, but again, he's a guy that Michigan has been on for quite some time. Doesn't talk too much about his recruitment or just about anything in general.
Yeah, man. You almost got to go see him. You got to go see him to hear from him. But, you know, that's how you learn that, like, this was his fifth visit to Michigan.
His second game visit, fifth visit. Yep. And so Grant Newsom has been doing an excellent job in this recruitment, has formed a really good relationship, not only with him, but his family. And he, I know Steve had posts on the VIP board there, but the week prior, he was supposed to go to the Whiteout. He did not make that visit. Instead, week later, he comes for the big in-state rivalry here from the Michigan-Michigan State game. So I really like where things are going. That had been trending in a good way regardless. And coming out of it, I've just been hearing really good news. Obviously, I haven't personally talked to him quite yet. Mm-hmm. I will get around to seeing him once again. But, yeah, that's a huge crystal ball and much-needed news. And especially biggest thing, again, when I went to see him, when you went to see him too, tight end usage, you know.
Oh, my God.
I mean, there was plays where they had four tight ends. And, I mean, it's like, how can you not be enamored and, you know, enticed with what Michigan does with the tight end? So I know that's a big selling point for him. The other two, one was another in-state kid, a kid that, Sam, you kind of noted to me of, you know, you might want to just kind of, you know, reading the tea leaves here, check him out and see what you think of him. It's Jalen Todd from Southfield, Michigan. He's a 2024 defensive back, plays corner, 6 foot, 165, has pretty good length, very good coverage skills. And he's the guy that Michigan offered after seeing him at camp. Steve Klingscale really was impressed with his play, especially seeing him up close and personal during the summer. He's been up to campus a couple times. And after this visit, I, you know, caught up with him again, and he said, listen, I loved everything about Michigan, from the culture, the campus, how they treat the recruits, how they treat the family. Everything about Michigan checks every box I like, and Michigan right now is the top of my list, he said. So I submitted a crystal ball prediction for him as well. And the third one, and I kind of talked about for the preview visitor, you know, list for last podcast, was Luke Hamilton, a 2024 offensive tackle from Ohio. He's a 4-star and he's got a bunch of the offers, a lot of highly touted, a lot of big time offers. He doesn't have Ohio State offer, which was a while. I was a little leery. I did a little more research, a little more digging into that. And even though he doesn't have that offer, and even though he could potentially get that offer down the road, I felt confident enough after learning some other stuff that Michigan has put in the work. They made him a huge priority in this recruiting or for next cycle, to the point of where I think they're going to be tough to beat, even if he does get the Ohio State offer. So obviously though, coming out of the visit, he told me Michigan was at the top of his leaderboard. So that made it a little more easier for me to put in that crystal ball. But those were three, you know, I put in, and obviously Alan put in too. Steve put in the big one, and there's a lot of good news coming out of it. No commits, but again, a lot of crystal ball predictions.
Yeah, you feel like they're on the verge. First with Priest Corn, You know, he checks the game I went to. They actually threw it to him a good deal. He had a couple touchdowns in that game, right? He caught a couple touchdown passes in that game. You got a chance to see a dude has some fight in him. Like, he had to match up with Amir Herring for an entire half. We kind of talked about it, and you know, that's a tough battle. I mean, Amir is physical. He's a mauler. He outweighs him by like 50, 60 pounds, maybe more. And Amir definitely got the better of that matchup, but you saw Priestcorn keep fighting. You saw him. He had a couple batted balls in there. You learn a lot about his tenacity. He's going to, when he gets to the next level, you're going to see him pack on a good 20, 25 pounds, but can run, is physical. You like his attitude, his mentality on the field. He can be an inline guy who can also flex. Really, really good fit, especially with Michigan's tight end usage. I told you, Jalen Todd, I said, I think they lead for him. We need to go check him out. And lo and behold, that certainly seems to be the case right now. I'm interested to see what you guys think. And we'll come back to talking about Ohio recruiting, because it really feels like that's more of an emphasis. But Steve, I want to use this as an opportunity to kind of segue into the biggest crystal ball of them all. You know, Steve Wilfong, typically when he drops a crystal ball, it's about it. He reflects the leaderboard, that he goes with the ebbs and flows of recruits, that's his method. Everyone has different ways of doing it. I typically drop a crystal ball when I think it's a guy, hey, the odds of him going to Michigan or Ohio State or whatever, if it's greater than 60%, 60% or greater, that's when I'm dropping a crystal ball. So it's less about, hey, this is the team that's leading right now, more about, I think he's going to go to that school. I think this one is a bit different, though, when it comes to Jaden Davis, because you know, his crystal ball on Jaden Davis actually comes at a time where he's getting closer to a decision, and he's coming off of what, his fourth visit to Michigan? Steve, this is, I think that the tea leaves on this one are a lot stronger with Jaden than your typical Steve Wilfong crystal ball, because it seems like it's coming close to a decision.
I think it definitely was. I think there was almost our board had a conspiracy theory developing as to why Steve, you know, likes to put in crystal balls based off the pulse of the recruitment, but hadn't put one in for Jaden Davis yet. I think it's because he did, you know, there were still visits. He still was having, he's had dialogue with other schools too. But I think this return visit maybe really put Michigan in a safer pull position, right? What do we think? Like, maybe Tennessee, maybe
Clemson. Clemson.
Yeah, Clemson probably still around a little bit. I know they're after a couple other guys too. I think it's what we talked about before about Michigan's kind of been the constant up here at the top. It's really been, the question has been, who's the other school? You know, it was Georgia for a while. I know North Carolina was kind of involved a little bit. Penn State. Clemson as well, now Tennessee. It's like a different school sort of coming to the forefront to challenge Michigan. But here he is up on campus again, both night games this year. So he's seen a solid atmosphere, seen a couple dominant wins. So yeah, I would agree. I would say this is a different crystal ball than what we might normally see coming out of the weekend. From knowing the way that Steve does his crystal balls, this one's more noteworthy than maybe some of the other ones.
So the automatic question I'm sure I'm going to get, well, Sam, why didn't you put in a crystal ball? You know, understanding that this one is probably more aligned, this crystal ball from Steve, is probably more aligned with where the kid is most likely going to go. Because as you've seen on the MichiganInsider.com, I definitely think Michigan leads for Jaden Davis. I mean, firm leader for Jaden Davis. Why did I not go, you know, across the crystal ball sort of ledge? Because, you know, there's one element that I think a team might be able to kind of pry him open with, right? It's something that it's easier to address it on the field, but it can be addressed in some conversations, right? Either way, I think it's going to have to be addressed, and that's the passing game. You know, he came and saw a raucous atmosphere, against Michigan State. He saw a win, an imposing win. He did not see much receiver involvement. He did not see much downfield passing game. And it's not like the receivers have been, it's not like they've been targeted 12 of or less than 50% of the time in every game, but it hasn't been the sort of aerial presence that we've seen, at least even at times last year with Michigan offensively, but let alone some of the other games that he's seen. I mean, he was down in Bama, Tennessee. He saw it being flying all over the yard. So my gut tells me that they have questions about that. Like, what is Michigan's passing offense? How much of a focus will there be on the downfield passing game? I mean, will the emphasis be not just run heavy, but super run heavy? You know, will the focus of the passing game be mostly tight ends and running backs? I think these are the kinds of questions that apply to Jaden Davis. That if, you know, it's not like the season's over. There's you're 8 games in, so you understand why the questions are there, but you can still provide some answers over the last month or two of this season where conceivably you're going to need to, you know, air it out a little more to beat it in Ohio State down in Columbus or to win a playoff game or two, right? So to lock him up, I think that is something that has to be addressed, and I think it's something, fellas, quite frankly, that is a recruiting question, not only for other prospects in the class, so other receivers, other in 23 and 24. We see Ryan Wingo; he's coming off of this visit. All the talk is Tennessee, right? Are you surprised? All the talk is Tennessee coming off the visit. I mean, Tennessee is throwing it all around the yard, but also your own roster, Steve and Bryce. I mean, that's the part of recruiting that we probably need to lend more of a voice to. Like, recruiting now is not just recruiting prospects, it's recruiting your own roster. And while I do not believe for a second you have any guys on the team, you're winning, you're 8-0, you got all team guys, they aren't complaining, they're all, you know, go blue, go team. But I think it'd be naive to think that you don't have some guys saying, well, man, you know, I'm talking about receivers. Man, what's my role in this? I have a role, but it's maybe not the role that I envisioned in my track to the NFL. I'm more of a wide blocker in some games than I am a wide receiver, and that's going to make it a little harder maybe to keep some of those guys in the fold if that's going to be their role in perpetuity, if you get my meaning. I don't know what you guys think about that.
It's hard not to agree, right? And I think, like, the one thing I've been going back to now with Michigan State in the rearview mirror, I think these next 2 weeks are a really big opportunity. I think fans have been just wanting to see Michigan throw the ball more for McCarthy's sake, for him to put up big numbers, for quarterback to put up. But for me, yeah, I mean, you know, to me, the goal of the next 2 weeks should be simple. I mean, Michigan will be heavy favorites in both games. It should be do enough for Corum to keep him in the Heisman conversation, but lower his workload to keep him fresh for Illinois and Ohio State to finish out the year. So by effect, that means, you know, this would be the 2 week stretch to start winging the ball around and show that you're able to, you know, you have a multifaceted attack offensively. Because, yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I think we looked at the depth at receiver as being a really big strength for Michigan this season. And I think it still is. We just really haven't seen much of it in action in actual games. Right. I mean, they've really been able to kind of win football games the same way that they did last year. But I mean, I'd almost argue they've even gone further away from the passing game in a lot of instances than they did last season. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, I've picked Andrell Anthony as a breakout every week just because I'm waiting for him to, like, for them to, like, please, like, throw him the ball, get him the ball. I don't know. I know, Sam, you mentioned you and Devin Gardner talk about the fade pass mm-hmm. in the red zone. Like, what, you know, he showed that last year. I think he made a touchdown catch on a fadish type play with McCarthy at Michigan State last year. Like, you know, I don't know. I agree. I think the next 2 weeks are important, though, for them to utilize these guys a little bit more, build their confidence, and just kind of keep Blake Corum a little more fresh heading into the home stretch.
Yeah, so that, look, it's winning is the most important thing. So let's not get away. I don't want to be misconstrued here. You got to win the games. That is the most important thing. The question is, can you win the games and incorporate all of your weapons, you know, more equitably than you have to this point? That is it's a reasonable question to ask when you talk about, you know, the way your roster breaks down. You know, it may be the case that the way that they're winning games, it might be good enough to not only beat Ohio State at Ohio State, it might be good enough to win a national championship. I personally think they're going to have to be able to throw it more than they've shown to this point, but it remains to be seen. But here's what I am confident in being the case, is if that is the way, if that's going to be the model for success, this level of run emphasis compared to the receivers' roles as pass catchers in the offense, I do not think a wide receiver room with the depth that it has now, the depth of talent that it has now, I don't think that's sustainable. And which would be fine. I mean, if you're pivoting, you know, sort of the, you know, what the model for your offense kind of looks like, I just don't think you have all Americans sitting on the bench. You might have all Americans as your, you know, as your X and Z, but I don't think you're, not in the day and age of the transfer portal, I just don't think you have a lot of those guys sitting around waiting their turn, you know, waiting their turn within the offense and waiting their turn from, you know, it'll be me next year or in 2 years from now. I just don't think that's sustainable, Bryce.
No, and I think even looking ahead to next year, just with so much young talent you have, and especially with the running back room, if you lose Corum, I mean, wouldn't you think you'd have to kind of throw it a little more, you know, and who knows what's going to happen with Eric Hall and his decision as well. So, but going back in terms of recruiting, yeah, it's been kind of a struggle trying to recruit wide receivers just because they don't have the numbers. When, you know, you watch a game against like Tennessee and Alabama, it's, you know, right down the field, right down the field, right down the field. It's big passes, you know, and it's, these guys, some of these guys are averaging 5, 6, 7 catches a game. You know, I mean, you're looking at guys even like Charlie Jones, I think, from Purdue. He left Iowa.
Yeah. Come on.
But I'm just saying.
Purdue though, Bryce. Okay. So, look.
I'm just saying, some of these schools.
Right. I hear you.
I'm just saying.
I hear you.
You know, obviously you're not going to make all these wide receivers happy.
I guess, you know, there has to be, there's going to be, there's an in-between.
Middle ground.
Yeah, there's an in-between between what they are at Purdue, right? Something between 12 targets, because just to give people some context here, there are 26 targets in the last game. 12 of them were to receivers. The other 14 were to the backs and tight ends. And there, some, to your point, some of these programs, one receiver gets 12 targets, let alone the whole group get 12 targets, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, an in-between is I think, going to be part of the challenge for them and not compromise their ability to win. At the end of the day, if you think that's going to compromise your ability to win, you got to do what you got to do to win games. But understand that, I mean, having – how many All-Americans are on the bench? You know, so you got Tylan Morris, who's an All-American. Amarion Walker's an All-American. Darius Clemens is an All-American. I just don't think you're going to see – you're not going to see All-Americans just hanging out on the bench.
Chilling.
Yeah, hey, that's just – I don't think you'll see that if this is sort of the offensive approach henceforth and forevermore.
I think, too, the other thing is – all right, if this is our concept, and this is kind of how we want to play the game, and this is how we want to win football games moving forward, then you really need to hit on running back recruiting, and offensive line recruiting. Because if that's the name of the game for you, that's where it needs to be your bread and butter. If wide receivers, you're not going to have as many, because I don't know if you're ever going to have a cupboard this stocked and this full of talent again. You know, this is pretty loaded. So I think that's the other thing to note.
Yeah, well, here's the glass half full, Steve, because, you know, we've been talking about Nick Harbor for a long time, right? Nick Harbor, I'm thinking more and more his decision going to go into January, so this won't be an early signing period guy, most likely. But, man, can you imagine him in a flex role with their, the way they use their tight ends, their, you know, that, can you imagine him on a wide delay? Can you imagine him flexed out on some of these – on some of these seam routes that they send their tight ends on? I mean, this offense should look even more appealing to a guy like Nick Harbor. And Nick Harbor, it was already appealing to them. They should be, like, salivating on what he could possibly do in this offense.
Yeah, I mean, use him the same way they've been using Colston Loveland so far this year, right? Mm-hmm. Like, a similar idea. And Harbor, you know, would walk onto campus as one of the best athletes on the team, if not the best overall, just at pure athleticism, he'd be right at the top of the list. So, yeah, I mean, that's what Michigan's got to do. I think where fans, I think, are getting a little leery, a little uptight, are we haven't really seen the returns on the offensive line recruiting and or running back, maybe. I mean, Cole Cabana, I still think Cole Cabana's is a much a dual receiver running back type. I don't know if he's a 25 carry guy like Blake Corum has shown to be. I think the jury's still out on Benjamin Hall, you know, how big of a role he can play. We just haven't seen the returns at back and offensive line I think Michigan fans have expected, given the way that they have been winning. So, yeah, I mean, tight end's a one spot where they look good. I agree. Harbor, throw him in the mix there potentially. You have one of the best tight end rooms in the country the next couple of years. And with what they should do in 24, we got to talk about Brady Prieskorn. So yeah, interesting times. You know, it's still a ways till signing day, but it's not, I guess there's that period of time where there's still a lot that can happen, but it is getting a little late. And we're now coming out of another official visit weekend where it's unclear if they're going to get any of the guys that they hosted officially in 23.
Mm-hmm. All right, so how about this? Since it's a great time to segue into talking about some of the other visitors, especially offensive linemen. So let's pause for the cause, and when we come back on the other side, we will pick up on some of those other big-time visitors, like literally big-time, huge visitors when we return here on the Michigan Recruiting Insider.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, fellas. And so recruiting and offensive line focus, this was a significant one considering three top 247 talents on campus, Caleb Lomu, Spencer Fano, DJ Chester, all out of region guys, all guys that, you know, if you're fair to say, Michigan trailing and probably trailing significantly on. But you brought them in for a big time visit weekend. The offensive line was one among the stars yet again. So what do you think? And I'll start with you, Steve. The West Coast guys, Caleb Lomu, Spencer Fano, are you feeling more optimistic about Michigan's chances after this? I mean, what do you think about where Michigan stands with those guys now?
I guess maybe more optimistic in that they visited, but otherwise not particularly necessarily. You know, I think Lomu still has an official to USC coming up. USC's kind of been viewed as at or near the top for him throughout. So the fact he's taken an official there after seeing Michigan, I think is, you know, not a good thing, obviously, if you're Michigan. And then with Fano, we've quietly kind of talked quite a bit about that recruitment and the good and the bad in Michigan's situation there. You know, they do have a couple little wild card type deals in their favor there, but either way, you know, Oregon still heavily involved, Utah, BYU. He's taken an official visit to Clemson now, so that did happen. He was going to – Clemson offered him 2 weeks ago, and they're getting an official visit out of him. So they're now in it, you know. So, you know, I'm sure Michigan did well, but, yeah, there's no concrete indicators that they're going to get either of those two guys right now. It's just they're going to have to continue to fight and kind of see where each one goes.
I know you talked to Spencer's dad, Bryce, and I kind of was raining on the parade a little bit earlier in that recruitment, saying there's just no way. Now with his brother at BYU, not being from Provo, no. But we found out his dad is in Michigan frequently on business. You know, he's made it here. He has another visit left, I think, to Clemson, and a decision coming in a month. So you're still going to be fresh in his mind. I mean, what do you think about Michigan's chances with Spencer and with Lomu too?
We'll start with Spencer. I think even with both visits, they definitely improved. They definitely improved their standing with each kid. But going into the visit, and even with DJ Chester, I kind of felt like these out of region kids, it just was going to be a tough bowl, regardless of kind of where they are at going into it. Everything you wanted to show them, you kind of did. I know when I talked to Spencer's dad, he mentioned, he made it again very clear that distance is not going to play a role in this, you know, his decision. And, you know, he wants to look at all the other factors when it comes to his college decision. But, you know, a big thing for them was mom. They wanted mom to check out campus. She definitely did check out campus. She really enjoyed her time there at Michigan. And I think it's not just getting Spence on board. I think it's getting the whole family on board of, you know, if he does decide to go a separate direction, it's all right, because a guy that they had as his host, you know, Andrew Gentry, kind of was in the same boat as him. And so I think that was a very smart play by Michigan to show, hey, we've had guys in your role and your situation come here. And Andrew made it very clear that he's enjoying his time in Michigan. This was the best decision he made for him and his family as well. And I think that was it was definitely a smart strategy move by Michigan. But I still see him staying on the West Coast. And even with Lomu, I just feel like both of them right now, it's going to be a tough pull regardless. And those are two recruitments, especially with Caleb Lomu. They got in a little later, you know, when you look at, you know, DJ Chester, they got in that recruitment a little later. And so one of the biggest fears, Sam, you pointed out right when he got the co-OC job, Sherman Moore, was what's all now on his plate and everything he's got to handle. And that's not to say he's not recruiting offensive line at a high level, but it is taking, I think, more of a toll on his end to, you know, reach out these kids, stay in contact, and really attack certain guys. And I think it's also a little bad luck that some of these top guys are out of region. Whereas you look at the Midwest, there's not tons of top, you know, 247 prospects along the offensive line. So there's other options they do have. I'm not saying they're out for the two of them. Obviously, Chester, they're out for it because he just committed to LSU. But, you know, there's Nathan Afobe, who I still think they look very good for. Nick Faddick, the Texas Tech commit. I know he wants to make official visit eventually, that I'm very high on as well. And I think you could see them extend a couple more offensive line offers. And then on top of that, the two guys they do have committed are very good. Sam, you saw Evan Link go up against Nicholas Harbor, and he fared extremely well. And then I just saw Amir Herring go against Jalen Thompson, and he was physically dominant. I mean, he looked very impressive in that performance, even though West Bloomfield lost. So wasn't the greatest outcome in terms of three official visitors you had this weekend.
You know, did it come as a surprise that Chester?
It shouldn't come as a surprise.
I mean, did it come as a surprise that Chester, that it developed so quickly?
I think, in my opinion for that, I think he came in thinking, all right, if I love this, especially, and I know he enjoyed it, but I think he was comparing Michigan to LSU. Mm-hmm. I think him and his family came in thinking, okay, how's it going to compare and stack up to LSU? And obviously in the end, it wasn't enough. And I think that's why you saw the quick turnaround with that decision of why he decided to make a quick, you know, commitment right after his official to Michigan.
Yeah, no doubt. All right. So there were others that made their way to town as well. There are too many to really jump into, but I mentioned Ryan Wingo earlier in the deal here. Yeah. Really looking like, you know, some early momentum. They just weren't able to carry it. They just weren't able to carry that early momentum that they have. Because I thought when I went to see him this summer, and Steve, you talked about it. I mean, he raved about his connection with Jay Harbaugh. But man, it's hard for a receiver to not be impressed with what's going on with, you know, Hendon Hooker and that high powered offense down at Tennessee. They're riding the wave of this instant momentum, right? And it's a segue of sorts, because I keep getting that question. I know you guys do. I was speaking to a class in Michigan yesterday, and one of the guys in the class files recruiting. He said, so when is all this success going to turn into some recruits? So coming out of the weekend, Steve, do you, other than the guys that we talked about, that we've talked about already, do you feel like Michigan has gained significant momentum with any of the other visitors that were on campus last weekend?
I mean, it feels a lot more like with 24, mm-hmm. You know, I feel like is 23 going to be a bit of an anomaly class? I mean, I think we have to open ourselves up to the possibility, you know, that it's, or at least that it's a greater possibility as of now. I mean, there are still some top guys at certain positions that they're still, you know, in contention for, but, you know, not as much. We're, you know, they go to the playoffs last year, they're undefeated top five team this year. We're really not seeing nearly the returns that you would normally see for maybe literally any other team in the country that has done that in the same time period that we're seeing for Michigan. It's really more with the 24s, you know, guys like Amarion Stewart. I know, Sam, you know him really, really well. Like his game, he's a guy. We mentioned Luke Hamilton up front, offensive lineman out of Ohio. You know, the crystal balls are kind of going in there. You know, just Jordan Marshall, the running back out of Cincinnati Moeller, was on campus as a kid that, you know, I think Michigan is probably made a decent move for. You know, he's one of only a few of the backs that they're recruiting in the cycle, but it feels like Michigan's got more than a puncher's chance in that one. So you know, there are guys and guys who were up over the weekend, but it's definitely more 2024, 2025 heavy. I mean, you know, Allen's two crystal balls coming out of the weekend were 2025 recruits, you know, nothing from 23 and 24, which still good, but, you know, not what fans are wondering about and hoping for coming off, like I said, a playoff appearance. And so far, a dominating 8-0 start to this season. So it's never easy. It feels like there's always something, right? We've talked about that before. Just it can never be as easy it is as it seems to be for other top programs around the country. Michigan, it just always seems to be something, you know. So, yeah, just – we'll have to see where 24 goes, but yeah, a lot of question marks now to finish out the 23 cycle. For sure.
Yeah, you're looking at, I mean, Nick Harbor was huge before. It is, as other guys fall off the board, just the importance of him, at least as far as the strength of the class is concerned, is, you know, if rankings mean anything to you, Nick Harbor's importance is amplified. Same thing with a guy like Jair Hill, who Illinois has made this a knockdown dragout. It's been a battle royal with Illinois because, as I said on my appearance on the 24/7 recruiting show, it's like, you know, they aren't the smelly fat kid. Like, you know, fans like, Illinois, that's – no, it's not like that anymore. I mean, they're probably going to win the West. They're a legit team showing him some success, and they're closer to home. So that has become a real struggle to land that recruit. And then after that, I mean, you're looking to maybe catch some lightning in the bottle like they did with some guys toward the end of last year's cycle. Like, you know, they were able to pounce on a Darius Clemens a little bit later on in the process. Can you go back out west and do that again with a guy like Roderick Pleasant? You know, is it possible? If it's me, I said this before, I'm trying to get Nick up and Roderick up at the same time. I mean, if they didn't have a conflict Saturday, if he could have gotten into town on a Saturday morning, if it's a Friday night affair and a Saturday and be able to fly in Saturday morning for last weekend's game, Nick would have been here. I talked to his track coach, Pam Fish, said, hey, we were supposed to be there. Just couldn't get it to work out scheduling-wise. So what that says to me is he is open to taking another visit even to the University of Michigan. I'm trying to put out all the stops for that Illinois game in a couple of weeks. But look, I do want to give folks there were some other positive vibes coming out of the weekend. Amarion Stewart is one that you mentioned. He's getting more and more comfortable on campus, right? Justin Scott, his first visit to campus, guys, that dude is so immensely talented. He is a national prospect, and I'm keep harping on this point. I would be surprised, very surprised, if he leaves this region. I think it's going to come down to Notre Dame, who he's visited more than these other schools, Michigan, who he just visited. You can check out the story over on the MichiganInsider.com. Just came. Had an outstanding visit. Mom was on the visit. She is huge in the academics. Think about where he goes to school in Chicago. Not a traditional powerhouse down there. There are other football programs that you could go to that his profile would be bigger in. Nope, he's staying at Ignatius, where, hey, the it's about sports, but it's really about the academics. And then Ohio State. That's where he's headed next. Larry Johnson all over this young man, a really good vibe with him. And so that's who you're battling. And this is one where Mike Elston, going back to his time at Notre Dame, where he met Justin. Justin came on a visit to Notre Dame, and they sort of started building a rapport. He was able to carry that over to Michigan, and this is the first time they were able to get face-to-face again. But that's a real connection. And Mike Elston has been doing a bang-up job coaching. I think he has been one of the better assistant coaching hires in terms of impact coaching that I've seen Michigan have in recent years. And then he's getting it done on the recruiting trail. You can't say anything about defensive line recruiting, Bryce. anything bad anyway.
No. If you were to say the biggest positive looking at this 2023 class, it's got to be up front along the defensive line. That's all thanks to him, and also Dylan Roney as well.
Absolutely. Good shout out.
Those two, I'd say, have been rock stars. But, Justin Scott, getting him up to campus, he's been a five-star out of the Chicago area there. Huge. I think he's like 6'3", 310. And he can move. And the biggest thing is you don't see those type of kids growing trees in the Midwest.
Right.
And so that's why if you can keep him home, that's a huge win. I know, obviously, in the middle there, and he's for next cycle, but Michigan just lost one of their top targets to Ohio State. Kaden McDonald just committed to the Buckeyes. But the Wolverines did have some positive news in the 2023 class. Two guys commit elsewhere, take visits this weekend, starting with Trey Pierce, the guy they offered October 22nd. Mike Elston liked. He's committed to Wisconsin. He's from Oakland, Illinois. A guy that's been committed to Wisconsin for quite some time. But again, we talked about Michigan kind of looking guys committed elsewhere and potentially trying to get the spatula out and flip them. He's one of the candidates to do so. And so he recently got that offer right away, made a trip up there. I know he's kind of in the wait and see mode to see who gets that job at Wisconsin right now. Jim Leonard is the interim coach, but we're going to see who actually, if he gets that tag off him or not. But he enjoyed his trip so much so that he told me he's planning on taking an official visit and coming back to Michigan later on before he makes a decision and ultimately signs at a school. And then the guy that really I think is very intriguing that came up was Darius Taylor.
Yeah, that's an interesting.
He's a local in-state guy.
Yep.
He's committed to Minnesota. He's kind of a bigger bowling-style type of back. But in terms of production, Sam, let me read off what he's got right now. He's got 2,200 rushing yards this season, 32 touchdowns, and 250 receiving yards. So he's getting it done. And if you watch him play, you're like, oh my God, this is like, he's just built for Michigan. This is exactly the type of running back you love to see. And so Mike Hart, as much as the outside noise and people on the outside give him crap for his recruiting efforts and prowess, he's quietly been putting in work behind the scenes with several of these guys. And Darius Taylor out of Walled Lake, Michigan here, Walled Lake Lake Western here, high school in Michigan, he's been doing a pretty good job with, along with Jordan Marshall that Steve kind of noted on as well, who came up this weekend. So they definitely have made progress with several of these guys coming out this weekend. It's a matter of putting the bow on all of them and sealing the deal and getting these commitments and ultimately the signatures. But yeah, we're going to see more and more guys coming up. You brought up Jair Hill. He's going to be coming up for the Illinois game. And I'm not saying whoever wins that game is going to get him. But it's kind of at the point where it's kind of important, the result of that game. I know he's going to be at Illinois this weekend, and then he's going to be at the Michigan game when they play Illinois. Mm-hmm. So that's very important for Michigan to make another strong impression not only on him, but his whole camp as well.
Yeah, no doubt. That is a huge recruitment. And then another point that you just made, I do think that you'll see Michigan going back to the drawing board, so to speak, and looking at their early recruiting list. There's some guys that committed elsewhere. What do they think? I mentioned that about Jaylen Brown earlier in the process. If it's me, I'm looking at some of the corners that maybe came off the board and say, hey, Daniel Harris, I know it's UGA, but UGA has added three more corners. You still like it down there? I mean, you want to come up for a visit kind of thing? If it's me, that's what I'm doing. I'd be surprised if Michigan isn't thinking the same way. So, we'll see, guys. That Illinois game going to be a significant one here in a couple of weeks. We'll start previewing that. Of course, this is going to be a big trip because big visit weekend as far as our crew being out on the road 24/7, going to be all over. We got a couple of games on the East Coast we're going to hit, a couple of games here in the Midwest we're going to hit. I know Alan True's going to be out and about. So a lot of guys to see. You want to keep it locked. Updates galore when it comes to Justin Scott, the Providence Day trio as well. We had Gene Hankerson, Mean Gene, was over at seeing Philly Roman Catholic last week against St. Joe's. So we got some feedback from that. Is he? How do you say the kid's name? Emilio? How do you say it, Bryce? Because you just wrote him up.
I think it's Emilio Agard.
Emilio Agard. So, yeah, Gene went to see him last week. So we got a lot to come over on the MichiganInsider.com. You need to be there to check it out, though. Over on TMI, $1 gets you in your first month. Again, it is great bang for your buck when it comes to all of our podcast content, all of our video content, all of our written content, the VIP intel on the message board. You cannot beat it over on TMI. The analysis is second to none. Again, $1 gets you in your first month. Once you get hooked, and you will get hooked, you become a full-paying member. You also get access to Paramount Plus. You don't want to miss out. So get on over to themichiganinsider.com. Fellas, another outstanding time. Folks, until next time, thanks for watching another edition of the Michigan Recruiting Insider.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe? Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.